Amen. Exodus chapter 24 this morning. It says in verse 1, "And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off, and Moses alone shall come near the Lord. But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all of the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all of the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrifice, peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you, concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearing. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. We'll stop there this morning. From this portion of Scripture, which is familiar to all of us, Moses is going up to the top of Mount Sinai. To have God speak with him, and Moses to be able to get the tables of stone, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, 10 basic commandments. While he was up there, he also got a total of 613 commandments about the tabernacle and everything else. That's how many commandments that the Jews were under in the law. In the New Testament, when it talks about the law, that's what it's talking about. That's why there isn't any chance at all that anyone could ever get to heaven by keeping the law. The law was just given to show that we can't keep it. But there was something special going on with Moses and God. There was a relationship that was enviable. My, that God chose Moses above all other people to go up for 40 days and 40 nights to the top of that mountain. I want to preach to you this morning about Moses' relationship with God. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord, that you might bless the preaching of your word, and Lord, that we might open our ears and our hearts to the things that you would bring out this morning, so that we could have that kind of relationship with you as well. Thank you for being the great God that you are. Bless the preaching. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My whole purpose is bringing out the lack that we have within our personal lives. You need a close, daily relationship with God. Intimately, personally, sweet fellowship. Every day. It's called walking with God. We might know the words, we might know the stories, but I'm afraid a lot of Christians don't have this as a reality within their life. And God intended it to be. It started right off with Adam and Eve in the garden. They walked with God, it tells you. They fellowshiped every day. We find Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah walked with God, it tells us. Enoch walked with God even so much that God took him before natural death. Abraham walked with God. He was even called a friend of God. King David walked with God. He's called a man after God's heart. And you see, God has intended for you to have that kind of relationship in your life. God desires fellowship with his creation, with we that are spiritually born into his family. The relationship needs to be strong and needs to be intimate. It needs to be a lot better than it is right now as you sit in that pew or you listen in your home to this message. There's five statements here that will show us how we can have a relationship with God. How we can approach God. How'd you like to be Moses going up there? How are you going to approach the creator of the universe? The God of everyone. The living God. Not an idol or something. Let me make this statement. No one ever rises above their devotional life. It's got to be real within your personal life. Yes, your salvation obviously needs to be real, so you even have a spiritual life. A lot of people get born again, they get saved. But that was kind of the end of it with God. Many claim to be saved but aren't in church. They don't pray at home. They don't have devotions every day. You see, your relationship with God, it doesn't depend on somebody's abilities. Doesn't depend on talent. Doesn't depend on zeal. Doesn't depend on hard work. You'll never achieve that relationship through those things. And God hasn't changed. God's the one that invited Moses to the top of that mountain. At 80 years old, he's climbing that mountain. By the way, if you check all of these texts and so forth through Exodus, you'll find out that at 80 years old, he went up and down of that mountain four times. That is crazy. If I had the time, I'd just point them out to you. I have before in messages. This is a big deal, my friend. And it's important to us not only just to know the Bible history of what happened, but to want that relationship that Moses had within our lives as well. So God hasn't changed. The same way that Moses could have it back then with God, you can have it with God today. The Bible lays it down. You follow the example. God still wants his creation to have that kind of relationship. If we apply these truths we learned this morning, we will have it. Remember what the people said? Everything that God tells you, Moses, we will do it. Well, you just read on a little further, you find out that they didn't do it. Don't you be one of those. It's essential to apply these truths to your life. First thing is, look at verse 1. Said unto Moses, come. We'll stop right there. Come. That's an invitation, is it not? So the first point is that you have an invitation to come to God. God is the king. And he invited Moses to come. You remember Matthew 11:28? Where Jesus gave an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. First word that Jesus used, come. That's an invitation. You can't use that for an excuse. Oh, I wasn't invited. Yeah. You are. You say, but preacher, I'm not worthy. Well, that's nothing new. I'm not worthy either. There isn't anybody that's worthy to come close to God, know God, as Moses knew God. I mean, it isn't like you're just presumptuously going to go up and show yourself before God. He invited you. The greatest invitation that could ever happen. You remember Esther, reading Esther, that she went in to the king uninvited. Boy, she put her life on the line. Those Persian kings and any of the kings, you don't get anywhere near the king without an invitation. You'll be killed on the spot. He has a scepter. And so it's not like what Esther had to go through. But God did honor Esther, did he not, as you read the book? He used her. God used her for her boldness to come to the king uninvited. God changed that king's heart because of that lady. Esther. Wow. You know, if you really got a relationship with God, you think you're okay this morning. You're not. You need to be able to get close to God where you'll have on your heart what's on God's heart. What qualifies me to come to God? It's not what I have to be able to give to God. You come to God because you have a need from God. And God loves to meet needs. That's what our God is. Again, Matthew 11:28 that I just mentioned. When Jesus said, "Come, I will give you rest." To meet the need of those that are under burden. All of us have burdens of one type or another within our life. Our God needs to be needed. He wants you to come. If you don't get past the first point of coming, you won't get any kind of relationship. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." God wants to meet your needs. He invites you to come. And he says you got to do it by faith, because without faith it's impossible to be able to please God. Romans 14:23, anybody know what that says? Anything that is not of faith is sin. Faith, very important. You know, you're going to apply this message, you're going to have enough, you got to have enough faith to come. That's a pretty simple thing. That's the same way you got saved too, right? You had to have enough faith to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That'll start your spiritual life. That'll save you from hell. But what are you going to do about a relationship with God? So, having a need is the qualification for you to approach God. I feel qualified. I have lots of needs. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Keep your place here in our text, if you would. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 4. It says, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil." Everything that the Lord has made, he did it for himself. Why are you alive right now? He was pleased to give you life. And when he says, "No more life in you," you're dead. He's the controller of all of that. So everything that he has made is for himself, even the wicked. He didn't make these people wicked, but there are wicked people. He still wants them to come, get saved, and have a relationship with them. But they're evil, they're wicked. Just like Pharaoh was. Pharaoh would not obey God. He would not listen to Moses. And God got his purpose, even from the wicked. Pharaoh died in his stubbornness, in his pride. You know, a lot of people replace a devotional life in their Christian life with service. They think if they do something, then they'll have a relationship with God. No. You can't replace a devotional life with service. You see, service means you're in the public. You're visible. People can see what you do. But if you have a relationship with God, you know, that's private. That's hidden. People can't see that, what you do every day. They're within your home as you get up and everything else that goes on. But you know, once you do have a relationship with God, I mean a good relationship, you can lose it. You need to maintain it. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They had a relationship with God. They walked with God, but they lost it. What's the first action that God did with Adam and Eve? Anybody? It's the first thing God did. Yes, sir. First blood. Remember that. Everything depends on the blood. Because it represents life. Life of the flesh is in the blood. So when sin came, the first thing God had to do was shed the blood and get animal skins to be able to cover them. And that's the only way that you can have a relationship with God too. You can't be unsaved and have a relationship with God. I know there's lots of people out there that say they do. Every kind of false religion you think of. They say you've got a relationship with God. You can't do it without the blood being shed. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that did it. But you see, when they lost their relationship, they found out it could be restored to its original condition by redemption. That's what was going on. So even though we falter as sinful children of God, we can get that relationship back. Get back where you need to be. You know, it says in Revelation, he says, I got one thing that I'm against you, church. You've left your first love. The real love and devotion unto the Lord. You haven't maintained that relationship and you don't have it today, maybe. So since people are confused about why they even exist, I mean, Christians even do. You know why you're living from day to day? What's your purpose? Because you don't know why you exist, you never fulfill God's purpose to keep you alive. Why God do that? Go to the Gospel of John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. The woman at the well, as God speaks to her, he says something pertinent to the message. He says in verse 23, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Why did God invite us? Why did God invite Moses to that mount? He's seeking worshipers. Well, a lot of people have gotten saved down through the years. God's got a lot of kids, but no worshipers. It's got to be according to truth. Can't be what you dream up. It's got to come from the book. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. So God is actively looking for his children to honor him, to recognize him, to spend time with him. But guess what? We're too busy. We don't have time to have a devotional life, have this kind of relationship that Moses had with God. We're too busy making money. Or we're too busy playing. Or going to stadiums and watch them play. It's the height of ingratitude that we would not spend time with God. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God wants to be recognized within your life as the one that can meet your needs. That's the first thing he said, come. And sure enough, he met the needs of Moses and all of the people of Israel as well, because of what happened on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. God wants us to recognize him everywhere, all the time. Isn't that what the Proverbs 3:6 says? There's a second point, though, back there in Exodus. And in verse 1, again, he said, come up. Come up. Not only come, but the direction I want you to come is up. God will never send you into sin. God's desire is for you to come up higher and higher and higher in your Christian life. Somebody says, well, Lord, it's so far up to the top up there. God's not going to come down to your level to be able to have a relationship with him. You've got to come up. He's not coming down from his holiness. He's not going to lower his standard to have a walk with you. You see, God has three loves. The word love is used in the Bible 120 times. The word holiness is used 720 times. You know what God loves the most? Holiness. Because that he's got many attributes. I've given you the recipe for that, of at least 12 attributes of God. He loves holiness. It's the chief attribute of all of them. You know what holy means? It means one of a kind. God is only one of a kind, and you're only one of a kind. There is no God like God. And you are the only one exactly like you. God put you together that way. To be holy. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Does that mean we can be holy? Answer me. If he said to be holy, obviously you can be. But people get it stuck in their mind that holiness means perfection. No, we can't ever be perfect, but we can be holy, one of a kind. You know, I said God has three loves. Holiness is the first one. You know what the second one is? Justice. God loves justice. Justice means equal balance. Equal balance. It's just like the scales. You put more on one side and another and so forth, and you take off the weight on one side or another till it balances out. That's justice. You go to our court system and everything, it says, oh, this is, you're going to get justice. No, you aren't going to get justice. You're going to get corruption of wicked men that take bribes, that change all kinds of things. You got homosexual women that are judges, and on it goes, transsexuals. You're not getting any justice down here, friend. Only justice comes from God. He's a just God. And you might get away with things down here in this life, but wait until you stand before Him. You're going to get justice from God. So that's the second thing He loves. You know what the third thing is? He loves people. He loves people. And because we're born as sinners, He wants us to have a relationship with Him, but how can we? We're sinners. He had to do something that was holy and just so we could have this relationship. Isaiah 53 talks about the crucifixion on Calvary. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." How could it say that God would be pleased with what happened to Jesus Christ on that cross? Because it's the only way that justice and holiness could be satisfied. The sin's taken out of the equation. So His great love for holiness, number one, and then justice, now He can love His people. Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes. Yes. It was all because of what God did. And that's what God wants you to have, that kind of close relationship all the way through your life, to never end. Once you get saved. That's what this is all about. Calvary brought harmony so that we could be holy and just. We could be righteous, do the right thing. You see, God could now love we sinners saved by grace without sacrificing his holiness or his justice. He could restore us to the fellowship that Adam and Eve had at the very beginning. Go to Titus chapter 2, please. Titus chapter 2. Not having a service tonight, so we'll run over a little because there's lots of good stuff to come to. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He tells us we can be holy. We can't be sinless, but we can be holy. That's teaching us. Deny ungodliness. Worldly lust. You got to deny that stuff to make you one of a kind. There aren't too many Christians out there that go ahead and do this to have holiness within their life, one of a kind. God's looking for that special one. Just like he looked for Moses to come up. And so he said, separate from these things. Is that what he said right there? Deny it. You got to understand separation. Separation is not just from something. Separation is to someone. That's what separation is about. Best thing that can happen to you is to separate from this old world that will only draw you down. God's command was come up. He said to Noah, come up. Come into the ark. By the way, God didn't just send the animals and Noah into the ark. God said, come into the ark. God was already in the ark. He's given an invitation to come in to the ark that he just built. You know, a lot of excuses go on with Christians, and so they don't have a close relationship with God. A lot of times they'll say, oh, but Lord, it's so hard. Where'd you get that from? The scriptures say the way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus said in that same verse, 11:28, come unto me and take my yoke, for it's easy. You know, you get right with God and close to God, a lot of the trials, tribulations you go through, it'll be like a hot knife through butter, brother. You go through that thing. You don't quit. Don't run away. God give you that power of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 6:18, it says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. Thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives," says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because Noah was living righteously. He was trying to do the right thing, and God saw it. So not only Noah, but he said, "I want your whole family in here." God wants your whole family saved. God wants everybody in the ark. He wants everybody to have this relationship. But don't be fooled. God won't sacrifice his holiness or his justice to have fellowship with you. There's something else. The third point. Look at verse 2 in our text. He said, "Come alone." Come alone. There's a time and place for human fellowship, just like we're meeting today in church. We're having human fellowship. There's time and place for that. Don't forsake the assembling together. But there is also a time for fellowship with God. We call this a worship service. It's a misnomer. But we're learning and growing. We're being fed the Word of God as sheep, and we're growing if we listen and apply. When you worship God is when you're alone with God. Remember what I just said about the woman at the well? God seeketh such to worship him. Wasn't talking about going to church. He's talking about real worship. It's good to have human fellowship, but not when you're trying to approach God. He wants us for himself. He's a jealous God. Did you know you belong to him? You're his property. Do you ever see these t-shirts, you know, football players and stuff? They'll have it on and says, "Property of the Chicago Bears." It's something like that. Christians should have their own shirt, amen? Property of God. We're his. Completely his. And he wants us to be like him. Christians, followers of Christ. We got too many societies these days, too many organizations. Folks can't stand to be alone. They got to be hither there and join this and join that and everything. You know, back in our text in verse 17, we find out that Moses got a glimpse of glory. That was one of the benefits of going up and having fellowship with God. Got a glimpse of glory. You know, you're going to see God in a different light if you just get down to action in having this kind of relationship with God. He also, in verse 12, he got confirmation from the Word of God. God gave him the Word of God in stone. If he didn't come up, If he didn't obey God and come alone, you know, the other guys couldn't go up there. Did you add that all up? When God told them, the 70 and so forth, to go up, there was a total of 74 bodies. 74 men went up partway, and then God said, you come up from there, the rest of you stay there. 73 stayed behind. God was interested in one. He's interested in you. He wants you to have that kind of fellowship with him. It says in Exodus 25, verse 40, and look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. God gave Moses a blueprint for what was going to be the house of God, the tabernacle. God told him all of that in that mount in 40 days. You know, a lot can happen when you're alone with God. When you have a relationship with God like Moses had a relationship with God. It also says in Exodus 34, 29, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. What's that about? When you're with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and you're having that kind of relationship, it's evident in your life. People can see it. Moses didn't even know his face was shining. Couple more and we're going to close. It said in our text there in Exodus 24, verse 4, he said, come early. Come early. You know, when Jesus, through his life, he got alone with God. He came early in the morning. I give you all kinds of scripture for Jesus doing that over and over and over again. First thing, before daylight, come early. Let me give you a hint. Don't try to squeeze Jesus into your schedule. God comes first. Get up early and start with God early. Make sure your cell phone's off. Everybody else is sleeping. You come early. What's important in your life? Having a relationship with God or just the same old that you've been doing for years? There's another come also in verse 12. He said, come and be there. Come and be there. So how to have a relationship with God? First of all, come. You got an invitation. He's eager for you to come to him. Then you need to come up. Come up to him. Then you come alone. Then you come early. And the fifth thing is, come and be there, verse 12. In other words, keep that fellowship going. Maintain it. Now, nothing's going to change in your life if you don't apply these things. Come and be there. Present yourself. You get that fellowship early in the morning and then keep it going all day long. Be fellowshipping with God all day long. Didn't Proverbs 3:6 say that? Acknowledge Him all the time. Elijah was by the Brook Cherith for 3.5 years. He wasn't talking to anybody else. He was fellowshipping with God and fed by the ravens. God kept him alive, out of danger. It takes time. In the New Testament, those disciples were in the upper room for 10 days praying for the Holy Spirit to fall. And sure enough, on the day of Pentecost, it did. Now, Christian, I speak to you that are here in the church today, and I'm speaking to everyone that would hear me from our website, on the internet. You've heard the same words. You've heard the same message. And I've given you the same 5 points of how to have a relationship with God. It's up to you to apply that to your own life, because it's available. And God wants it even more than you want it. God needs to be needed. Come to Him. Get close to Him. Start something new in your life. Doesn't matter what your age is. He maketh all things new, is what it says in the Bible. Yeah, He'll make a different person out of you no matter how old you are. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for being such a wise God and a holy God. Help us to be obedient unto You. Help us not to have this just be another Sunday and another sermon. Help us to make this a life-changing event. And we'll start practicing this right now. Help us to meditate on this afternoon, tonight. Help us get alone and come. Bless each one that will, in Jesus' name. Amen.